Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
What would you say if I were to tell you that possibly some of this leftist philosophy on illegal immigration is part and parcel of a means of Cloward and Piven-esque taking over of the United States? Part of a cold civil war between you and them. Illegal immigration is not just a policy dispute. It is a political strategy. And it's not really working out the way the Democrats counted on. I mean, for the Hispanics that have come here and naturalized and everything else, the ones that ran from all these places, they said, well, they're just running to try to save themselves and have a good, you know, all this stuff. They've actually come out and most of, you know, what is it, 40-some-odd% are voting Republican. So that's not working. That's not working the way they thought it would, which maybe explains why we have so many Islamics coming in now. In the beginning, the Hispanic vote was cultivated as both shield and sword. It gave mainstream legitimacy for the radicals, and it gave them some muscle to try to push it. So it's not a matter of policy. It's a weapon in a larger, bigger struggle. Now, you might be asking, because lots of people do, you might be asking, who's behind the illegal immigration machine? And you never hear that answer. It's always obscured by a web of groups and theater. And for a very long time, the left has wrapped the radical activism in the language of ID politics, presenting it as advocacy for Hispanics or immigrant communities. And in reality, many of these groups function merely as a vehicle to advance the agendas of foreign-aligned radicals. And demographics have turned these groups into some of the left's most effective weapons. Hispanics represent the fastest-growing minority group in the United States, and conservatives, wary of alienating voters, until very recently, were very hesitant to confront these organizations directly. It wasn't until Trump came along that this began to sour for the left. But they were serving two purposes at once, generating agitation in the street and presenting themselves as the voice of a powerful electoral bloc. And they're not just agitating, they're staging. Everything they do is calculated for a camera, and then it's scattered and shared. Like this past summer's LA riots, funding questions surfaced yet again, and this reached even the halls of Congress, where Josh Hawley issued a series of letters to groups singled out as alleged instigators, namely the Coalition of Human Immigrant Rights of LA, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, and the Union del Barrio. But the funding question only scratches the surface. Because money is all going to be based on the idea. The idea is what is going to drive the network that it creates. So without the idea and without the network, there's not going to be any money. And the first example is Churla, born out of the LA activist priesthood and radical organizing tradition. And their founder and first director was Father Luis Olivares. He was an organizer for the radical left and longtime priest of Our Lady, Queen of Angels Church, better known as La Placita. He was a devotee of the Saul Alinsky style. He really liked that a lot. Current Mayor Karen Bass, who has extensively supported protests against the Trump administration, was a well-known and high-ranking VB member, you know, talking about the Venza Ramos Brigades, the Cuban intelligence program. All this is happening in L.A., you know. Then the next wave of resistance, of course, is the sanctuary movement. That would be driven by the same ideological template, if you would. And this was the first organized resistance to enforcement of immigration law, where they wanted to have civil disobedience, and they were going to hide the illegals. What do you think it, what does it look like when I say Cloward and Piven? What I'm referencing is their idea that they had that they could overburden the economic system to where it would crash. And then they did that in New York City in the 70s, where they got everybody who could possibly qualify for welfare to go sign up for welfare. And then in the beginning, because they were not ready for that, they filed bankruptcy. So when you look at it that way, let's look at some of these cities where they're like, it's a town of 30,000. And then suddenly they have 30,000 refugees, or whatever you want to call them, dropped in the middle of them. And now they have to provide services and shelter for all of that. And they just doubled. They're not even ready for it. New York City couldn't handle 30,000 refugees. But some of these smaller cities have had this dropped on them. This is all in an effort to unleash crime, to unleash economic problems, to unleash no room in the, in, you know, because some of the suicidal things we do is we'll get out there and say, what, this is a child, they must be educated. Then suddenly a teacher that has 20 students has 50. Now, until Trump, this is working out good. This is not working out good for him now, though. That's the saving grace of this, except in places like L.A. L.A. still is L.A. It's absolutely going to be that way until they fall into the ocean, until Arizona is oceanfront property. They're going to be the way they are. There are some things you just cannot bring people back from. And that's too bad. That truly is too bad. But hey. Understanding that all of these things that they go all in on has a dual role is the key to understanding, one, how they endure, and two, this is why Washington ignores them, because these are there for a purpose. And the purpose is absolutely, it's something else. I mean, you got to give it to the left. The left has a wide imagination when it comes to tearing down the United States. That is one thing they definitely do not lack. They've got it all. They got all the imagination known. And despite that, though, and maybe this explains it, right? Maybe this explains it. Maybe this explains why they're up in arms so much, because right now, for the first time in a very long time, they're getting to experience the feeling of the end of their authority. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So, here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You have to understand that the left isn't interested in argument or debate or conversation. They just want to command you. They'll invent whatever story. They'll demand obedience, whether they're actually factual or not. And if you doubt them, they'll punish you or they'll try. The assassination of Charlie Kirk showed their pattern. Violence committed, fantasy supplied, celebration permitted. The institutions that are charged with making sense of America have become instruments of denial and contempt. You see, authority begins to wither when it collides with what people see for themselves. The left have chosen to be deluded rather than being honest. They find their power slipping away. And what follows is not, you know, equilibrium. It's reformation, the search for new voices willing to speak plainly in a nation starved for simple reality. The left is losing authority. That's not to say that we're about to live without any version of the political left. They still have a bunch of institutions that organize and distribute the sentiment of the left, and that's not going away. But we're entering what will be a much-needed political reformation. And this was inevitable. Our sense-making organizations, those institutions that narrate our society, they're flooding us with a narrative that's empty. We live in a media stream that seems nonsensical. It's disconnected. It's battered by insistent and totalizing falsehood. So, our conflict isn't simply the left versus the right. It's also the left versus the plainest forms of observable reality. And all you got to do is look at the Charlie Kirk assassination, the coverage of it. Instead of anything that could help us understand the atrocity that took place, they gave us a week of imposed psychosis. They said he was shot by a supporter firing a celebratory shot. But then they say he was shot because his hate speech was a violent force that activated a bullet. But he was shot by a Trump supporter who lived with his transgender lover and wrote Antifa slogans on his ammunition. What kind of world do they think we live in where we're going? All of those sound plausible to me. And anybody pushing this narrative, they're insane, okay? They're insane. Along with the academics and the politicians who regurgitate that very same narrative. And this derangement, which cannot call a spade, isn't organized by anything coherent. It's organized by contempt. You have a set of overlapping status groups that have perceived themselves as a new elite, built around their sense of America as a dark and ugly society. And the institutional left understands itself as high status. They live in an echelon created by a common opposition, a disgust for the incorrigibly racist and backward country that we are. And they're self-isolating. You're probably related to some of these people, right? They get out there, they withdraw. They see culture, they see their family, they see everybody around them as provincial and bigoted. But they're experts. And we are too dumb to understand how good they are, so we don't properly obey them. And so they are in revolt against middle America, as they imagine it, a nation technologically backward, politically reactionary. Our sexual morals are repressive. We're middle brow in our tastes and smug and complacent and dull and dowdy. Makes me wonder if they're actually American at all. These are the people who describe us to us. They're sitting in a studio or a classroom that's never heard a Republican speak out loud and telling us what the murder of Charlie Kirk means. It's a cycle circle from hell. And the sense-making institutions tell us what is, and then we're forced to ignore them. We have all kinds of credentialed specialists that seem to turn... Have you ever wondered how they get on TV in the first place? But they are there endlessly, narrating you, America, to you, while you're sitting there. If you're watching them and not caring about them, it makes me wonder why you're watching them at all, but you know how it goes. But while you're watching them, you're sitting there, you're not really listening to them. You're not listening to the experts. Back in early 2016, Bill Maher asked his guests, which Republican had the best chance of becoming president? And Ann Coulter said Donald J. Trump. And there was a whole bunch of laughter. That was a crazy idea, impossible, a fever dream. And within all of the halls of the sense-making institutions, everybody knew Trump had no chance. Out of the top 100 newspapers, 57 endorsed Hillary Clinton. 26 offered no endorsement. Several endorsed not Trump or some version of none of the above. And a grand total of 2 endorsed him. But he's the one that ended up winning that election. And the consensus was that Trump shouldn't become president. Rather, it was that Trump couldn't possibly become president. And it was absurd to think that this horrible man would be president. A thing that was more impossible than the sudden disappearance of gravity. And then he did it. But in 2024, their renewed anti-Trump consensus solidified and became hysterical. Now it's all just Hitler. Over and over. Hitler, 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 Hitler. You know. To return Trump to the presidency was to end America, to shatter the republic, to choose literal fascism. They sued him and prosecuted him. They tried to mark him as a monster. And then the country elected him to the presidency for the second time. And this couldn't happen if the sense-making institutions retained any degree of cultural authority at all, and their authority's gone. I mean, it's all gone. People in California, they're walking around listening to Newsom and listening to Karen Bass, being told what's going on. Then they look around, and all they see is a state collapsing into decay. This is happening in all the blue hellscapes. So, the nation is ready to stop arguing with lunatics and start building an alternative to the madness. And the loop is already way past tedious. I think most of the nation is really interested in what comes next. And I think it's time we find it. One thing, though, to make sure, just let's reiterate one thing as we go forward here. All of this stuff that's going on right now, this is not a both sides issue. This is News Talk. 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right, what I'm about to tell you has nothing. I am not trying to incite anything. I am not calling for anything. I do not want violence. I do not want a civil war. I do not want fighting in the street. But I am going to dispel this notion that this, what's going on right now, that we're suffering from both sides violence. That's a little mechanism they use in order to insulate themselves from being responsible for everything that they've cultivated. I mean, I get it. See, with Charlie Kirk, we had a good example of what everybody should aspire to be. A grown individual, faith-based, who simply wanted to have a genuine conversation, willing to debate anybody, always civil to everybody. And a leftist shot him down. And the left celebrated. So this both sides talk is the last defense of a collapsing moral order. Because here is an inconvenient truth for the left. If the violence was on both sides, there would be no left left. I don't even think that's grammatically correct, but that's the truth. There would be nothing there. If we were what they said we are, which whenever they're telling us this, they're projecting. They're telling us who they are. But if we, you know, if there was a both sides now going on, there would be no sides left. There'd just be us. I don't know how plainer to put it. Most of us, most of you, want to just be left alone. You want to live your life. You're willing to pay the taxes that, you know, they take out of your check. You do demand certain accountabilities. You do believe in the representative system, the republic, all this other stuff. And you expect results. And you deserve an effective government. But beyond that, you just want to be left alone. And the left can't help themselves. They don't want to leave you alone. If you tell them that you want to be left alone, they'll follow you and they'll harass you and they'll scream at you and they'll ask you why you're filming. I see so many of these people that are not combatant types running from Antifa. I'm waiting on somebody to grab one of these guys and put him into something they call a Sayanagi, I think it is. It's a judo throw. And just throw him on his back and let him land and knock all the wind out of him. And then landing on a solar plexus with their knee and then looking around going, I'm leaving if you'll just leave me alone. Now, I'm sure that has happened or something like that has happened to them up to this point, but I haven't actually seen it on video yet. The difference between us and the left is we don't have bloodlust. I mean, they're saying things like, we denounce the political violence on all sides. All forms of political violence on both sides, right and left, must stop. Even conservative Ainsley Earhart said, we have radicals on the right as well. Well, they're not very good. The insurrection they accuse us of, we went to that without any guns. What kind of insurrection is that? And yeah, we got to point fingers. You can't solve a problem until you identify said problem. But right now, you also have your regular people, Chuckie Schumer's out there saying, violence which affects so many people of different political persuasions is an affliction. We need to come together, not point fingers and blame. And what he's saying is don't blame my party, because he knows his party's guilty of extreme incitement to violence. According to the left, Charlie Kirk invited his own murder. They said the same thing about Trump when they tried to murder him twice. The Cincinnati Inquirer, They wrote, there's no place for political violence, but Donald Trump brought it on himself. And, you know, I don't know how... See, these things that you're saying, I understand you don't know what you're talking about. Jesus said, forgive them, God, they know not what they do. And I get it. I know you guys on the left have no idea what you're doing. Getting out there and saying Charlie Kirk made this happen or Donald Trump brought it on himself. I see these guys for what they are, which primarily is non-combatants. They talk. That's what they do. They talk. And there's nothing wrong with talking. Talking is the way to go if you can do it. It's the absolute way, best way to go all the time. And once you can't talk anymore, then inevitably other things are going to happen that are going to be much more unpleasant. But all of this stupidity and delusion about trying to tell us that it's on both sides, it isn't on both sides. I mean, they're out there trying to say that Paul Pelosi's attacker was a right-wing extremist. If that's your approach, you have lost the plot. Pelosi's attacker was a homeless Canadian gay male escort with a serious drug problem. And you might have known Paul. And it's entirely possible they might have been having some sort of a private dispute. He was not a right-wing extremist. That wasn't right-wing violence. Swing and a miss. Try again. Me, myself, and I, I'm quickly reaching the point of I've had it with this stuff. I've had it with the nonsense. I've had it with the blame. And I've had it with the stupidity of it's down to both sides now. It isn't. It wasn't. So, until things, if things possibly could settle down, I'll stay on my side, the side that believes in life and liberty and the right to speak freely without getting targeted for violence and death. And I'll do what I can to be on the lookout, to be watching out just in case. Because one thing that we're in the middle of now, what the left is bringing to you right now is not ideology anymore, it's idiocracy. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. At least theoretically, you know, because of open competition, when we're going through the democratic process, you're supposed to pick your best member to be in charge of the public sector. And for some reason, that doesn't always happen. And examples of this are abundant. About 30 years ago in Oakland, the city's moms and pops were clutching their pearls over the rampant crime along the near Bayside Corridor, defined by something called East 14th Street. Really conspicuous street crime began when the Barcelona bar closed. It was mostly a front for the procurement of prostitutes, and the working ladies had to hit the street because they had to sustain that, you know, that revenue stream. But rather than beef up police patrols, the Pearl Clutchers at City Hall came up with an amazingly silly solution. They changed the name of the street from East 14th to International Boulevard. This was designed, and I'm not making this up, this is designed to bring the aura of global inclusion, which was expected to promote a greater sense of responsible citizenship. Somebody voted for these people, and they were getting paid. There was a large-scale armed robbery attempt at a local pawn shop, and the guys working there were also armed, and they seriously damaged a would-be robbers, leaving two dead. That's what kind of aura they have now. And the hits just keep on happening. A lot of the urban areas are littered with vagrant encampments. Oakland, no exception. They have this goofy dogma that the problem is caused by a lack of affordable housing. Instead of the honest answer, which is untreated insanity and drug addiction. So, those in power seduce the gullible electorate to approve a steep tax on vacant property. How does that, who pays that? Now, in all fairness, this also goes along with the often valid axiom that whenever something gets taxed, you usually get less of it. None of which has anything to do with the horde of vagrants haunting the city. The assumption was that property owners would be further encouraged to find tenants for their vacant properties, rather than get dinged for the additional $3,000 to $6,000 annually. There are exemptions for various protected victim types, but they have a lot of due process, so the intended results remain to be forthcoming. Many California locales are claiming they have housing shortage. This in spite of net out migration. Yeah, and it may be genuine, but it actually results from the local imposition of rent and eviction control laws that mostly serve to scare away would-be investors and people that just want to live there. Housing doesn't get built, and it even isn't maintained unless it's also a profit-generating asset of a solvent investor. There's a saying out there, all housing is affordable or else it's vacant. Which brings us to the epitome of the harebrained public sector boondoggles, that high-speed train to nowhere. When Newsom became mayor, he mentioned that he was going to pare down the amount of taxpayer money being wasted on the project, and he changed his mind. And what is seldom mentioned is that some years ago, when the project was just getting seriously underway, the state legislature recruited a panel of experts to assess the financial impact. And their findings were that the operating cost of shipping a passenger from L.A. to San Francisco was greater than the retail price of a plane ticket for the same journey. Goodness gracious. A guy named Hayek wrote on the road to serfdom that the real villains in our midst are the planners. They truly believe that they know better than we do when it comes on how we should live. Railroad tracks and street signs. Yeah. They always fit very nicely into that concept. Always. Always very nicely. But it's idiocy. Or idiocracy, or however you want to put it. They're idiots. And these are the ones, that's just on the left. You know about some Republicans that we've elected. You sit back and you say, well, they're supposed to be the best of us. Are they? Are they the best of us? Do you believe they're the best of us? I don't always believe they're the best of us. I know that's what it's supposed to be, but it never seems like that, does it? Never, ever, ever. We're going to lead off in just a second and find out what's going on in Greenville County with Greenville County Sheriff Hobart Lewis. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.